WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
Today I'm calling on Abigail Bryseth, a girl who's lived most of her 12 years in Springfield, but who this year is living someplace new and different. She's back in Springfield for a visit and to go to school for a few weeks. And so, Abigail, let's start by my asking, why is part of your purpose being here to go to school? Don't you go to school where you are?
I go to school once a week.
Once a week? Why just once a week?
Well, partly because school, it's 28 miles away, and to get there we have to go over a pass called Westgard Pass, and it's
so you're in the mountains.
Of a terror. Yeah.
You're in the mountains then.
Mm-hmm. In a valley.
And you go over the pass to get to school. Is there a school bus?
There is for the people that live in Big Pine, that's the town, but the bus drivers probably wouldn't want to come over Westgard because it's dippy and curvy and kind of like a roller coaster.
So once a week you go out as far as to meet the school bus, or do you get driven all the way into school?
We have to get driven.
Do your parents take you?
Sometimes. And then sometimes other people who are going into town do too.
Well, now you must be living in an isolated sort of place then, a valley. What state are you in?
California.
And tell us about the valley that you're living in and the community that you're living in.
It's in a desert part of California, a couple hours away from Nevada. And it's a deserted valley. I live in a college. My dad's the dean there. And there's 24 students, all men. And there's about 50 people there all in all.
All in all? Mm-hmm. Faculty and students and...
Faculty children.
And faculty children. So there are some other children there.
Mm-hmm.
Do they only go to school one day a week, too?
Right now, there's only a one-year-old and a four-year-old. And the four-year-old kind of goes about three times a week.
And let's see, there's one other, too, because you have a sister.
Yeah, and, but she goes with me.
She goes with you, so she goes in one day a week. So you're in this isolated little valley. Tell me how it is when you get into school. Do you find that you can keep up? How do you keep up?
I get assignments ahead of time and do them the rest of the week. Of course, there's problems if my baby sister gets sick and so we can't go in then. And so we've missed school for 2 weeks at a stretch, or 3 weeks even. Mm-hmm.
So you bring in your assignments on that one day and spend the day doing things with everybody else, and then the rest of the week you work at home. Does your mother help you or your father? Do you have the teachers there give you a little tutoring?
It's kind of behind the school system there, so I know just about everything, and it's pretty easy to work things out on my own.
Now, when you've come back here to Springfield, and you came back into your old school for these several weeks, you found that you'd kept up pretty well?
Yeah.
No problem?
Well. Not really. I was put in average math. I should have been in high math because the counselor was afraid that I wouldn't be able to latch on to something that they were doing in math, but it's all right. It's nice going.
Well, now, out there on this college ranch, if there's only a one-year-old and a four-year-old and your sister, there aren't very many kids to play with, are there?
No.
So you're thrown with playing with your sister all the time, or else not playing with anybody, being by yourself, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm alone a lot of the time, and I'm glad because I can amuse myself and entertain myself. I don't need a whole lot of people most of the time. It's nice.
Tell me the sorts of things that you do to entertain yourself by yourself.
I go horseback riding, and I walk around the ranch a lot and look at the cattle. They've got cattle, and they grow alfalfa. And I do dairy.
You do dairy? Now, I'm a dairyman's daughter, and I did dairy to a certain extent all my life. Tell me what sort of dairy you do.
Every morning at 5:15, I get up and go out in the cold to a dairy barn that doesn't have any insulation. And there's two student dairy boys, and I do dairy with them, wash buckets and things before we do it, and then we go out to get the cows, and we bring them in, and we milk them, and weigh the milk.
Now, wait, you say then we bring them in, and then we milk them. Do you have milking machines?
No, we do it all by hand.
You do it all by hand. Is this a skill that you went out to Deep Spring with, that you knew how to milk a cow?
Oh, no. There's no cows around here, really, to milk.
How did you learn how to milk a cow?
One morning, a student asked me, he said, he was joking, why don't you come out to the dairy barn? So I said, okay, I will, this afternoon. I go every afternoon, too.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's right, cows have to be milked twice a day.
At least. And so he taught me how to milk. And I went down every afternoon for a while, and then I started getting up in the morning, which was a sacrifice, but...
But I bet you like it now, the routine and getting up.
Mm-hmm. It's nice getting up early.
I'm sure that most of the people listening haven't milked cows. I know we have kids that live on farms, but so many of the farms have milking machines. And, you know, I grew up on a farm, and we milked over 100 cattle every day. But I never milked them because they had the milking machines and the hired men. So tell us how you milk a cow.
It's kind of just putting your hand around, making sure you don't pull, closing off with your thumb and first finger, and then squeezing the rest of the way down, and then opening and doing it again.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you can't get any more out, you just squeeze and squeeze, and there's nothing there. Then you do something called stripping, which is taking the other hand and running it down the udder, squeezing the milk into the teat so that you can squeeze it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you can't strip any more out, then you're finished.
We called them tits on our farm. What does a cow's tit feel like? Was it a little strange the first time you felt it?
Yeah. But I don't kind of say things like this feels strange because
uh-huh.
I don't know it. So I just kind of hung in there and got used to it.
Mm-hmm. My dad started milking when he was about 5 or 6 years old, and he said that he used to have to get up every morning and that he knew every freckle on Daisy's udder, and he would look at the sparrows sitting out there in the barnyard. He'd look through the barn door, and he would think they must be the happiest things in the world because they weren't in there milking, and he was. But I guess he didn't much like the milking then, although I've often wished that I had that skill, and maybe I'll learn it yet. So then after you finish milking, do you have any particular cows that you milk? Do you have your special cows?
Well, there are special cows that I don't milk. We've only got 5, although one of them is a herd cattle, and she came in off the range, and she's kind of a problem because she has horns, and she uses them mm-hmm. on the other cows, so all the other cows have gashes on their rumps or something from her. But I usually do the ranch cattle cow, and... they're Holsteins, and usually one of the other ones, but occasionally Hope.
Mm-hmm. Do the cows get to know you so that they expect you and are friendly and don't shy and kick and so forth?
Most of them, yes.
Now, does your sister have a special job on the ranch? I understand that everybody has their jobs.
Oh, well, that's the students.
The students all do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
so you have your job by choice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have to keep on doing it. Erica doesn't do, really, she just kind of does things that everyone does.
Mm-hmm.
She helps with BH. We all eat in the boarding house, and that BH, doing BH is cleaning up afterwards and setting things out before.
Mm-hmm.
And she helps at, like, painting halls and when we're doing that. And there's things called stuffing parties. See, it's a
stuffing party.
It's a 2-year college,
mm-hmm.
freshmen and sophomores, and then they go on to other colleges. And it's for the top, I think, 1% of the SATs, which is Scholastic Achievement Test,
mm-hmm.
I think. And there's brochures that we put in envelopes and an article that was in the New York Times called A School for a Select Few. And we send those out to this top 1%, and there's parties to do this,
so that
with loud music and things, mm-hmm. and she helps.
So that the secretarial work is something that everybody pitches in and does together.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. How about the cooking? Who does the cooking?
We hire cooks.
You have hired cooks for that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Do you do much reading? Do you have a whole lot of books there? Are you a reader?
Yeah, I'm a reader. I don't read as much, though. I'm doing more, although I can't say that I do this and this and this. I just kind of do things.
Yeah. Well, this is what I liked about living on a farm, that there was always something to do. And whereas I read a lot, why, every time I went outside, why, there was something going on, either to watch or participate in or something like that. How about any writing? Do you do any writing? Are you keeping a journal?
No, because sometimes I get in kind of late to bed and I don't have the strength to write anything. I write things for school when we have papers for that, but I like to write, but I don't write an awful lot just for the sake of writing.
I'd recommend that you start keeping a journal, you know, not every day, but writing down some of these experiences and how you think about them and feel about them so that you'll be able to recall it in later years and have it for your own kids and friends and things like that.
Yeah.
Speaking of friends, do you miss not having friends around a lot?
Yes, but my friends here have always, we've always kind of bopped around from one set of friends to another, so I've only got one really close friend here, and we got in fights an awful lot, so I'm kind of used to doing things on my own.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have friends in Big Pine, and I do things with them. One of them's been out for a weekend before. Mm-hmm.
So the local kids, 20 or 25 or 30 miles away, your neighbors can come out and spend some time at the ranch.
Yeah.
How about music lessons? You've been taking them before, haven't you?
Yes, we take piano. We take piano in Bishop. That's the bigger town. Big Pine, it has a population of 1,000, and Bishop is much bigger than that. And we take lessons at the home of a Jewish refugee from World War II. She's 88 years old. She's very short, about 4 feet, and she's very good. She only does classical.
And one heck of a piano teacher.
Yeah.
I bet you she makes you tend to business and practice and so forth. Well, there's not many distractions then to keep you from getting your practicing done. How about TV? Do you have TV out there?
No TV, and we only get one FM station. It's a music station. It's not a very good one in the day. And then at night we get AM, but only after dark.
Well, now, why is this? Why don't you have any TV? Is this for the good of your souls?
It's the mountains in the way of the reception.
The mountains are in the way of the reception, so you couldn't get TV even if you wanted to. Once they get the satellites or whatever, you'd think they might be able to beam them right down into Deep Spring.
Maybe. It's a small valley.
Do you find that you miss TV?
Not an awful lot. Now, the things on TV mostly are kind of cruddy, so I don't miss it very much.
So when you got back here for this several-week period, you find you haven't rushed to the TV set to see what you've been missing all these months?
Not an awful lot. For some things I do, but not usually.
And you can hear the radio during the day?
Yeah.
And one AM station at night, did you say?
One FM during the day and then most AM stations at night.
Mm-hmm. So that you can keep in touch with the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now with 24 college students and faculty around, there must be some sort of social life that you have there with your group of 50. Are you kids included in the social life?
Most of it, yeah.
Tell us what sort of things you all do.
We have every Tuesday night the physics teacher's wife. She is a folk dancer, and she teaches us line dances and folk dances and clogging, for example, which is a sort of folk dancing.
Where you hit the floor hard with your with your shoes?
Shuffle one, shuffle two, shuffle three, and step.
That sounds good. What else? That's Tuesday night.
There's lectures all the time. People come in to lecture about economics or all sorts of things about Don Quixote, the weirdest things.
And what other sorts of parties do you have?
Over the summer we had a root beer party.
No beer parties at this school.
Oh. There is no drugs or drinks allowed during the term. Over break, which is a week between each term, there's six of them during a year, the students at 12, Friday night, they go out and they get their beer out of the refrigerator and they go up to the reservoir. That's where we go swimming. And there's a sauna up there, and they go and have a beer party in the sauna.
Mm-hmm. But that's only once every certain number of weeks. Once every 7 weeks, they can have a beer party. What else do you kids get included in?
Oh, there's not really much, the stuffing parties that I told you about.
Mm-hmm. I mean, anything like charades and the kinds of entertainments that...
There's supposed to be once a term, the Disback, I think it's called, and it's kind of a talent show, and people just go up and do little skits and things that they've been working on.
Mm-hmm. And do you get to participate in that and do something?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's parties for holidays and things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we had a Valentine's party and a Halloween party at our house, and that was pretty funny. Some people came as girls. They found wigs somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
They looked kind of weird.
Well, our time is almost up, but tell me how you feel about living in the mountains, because all your life you've lived in this flat plain of Illinois. And what's it like to be suddenly up there with the peaks surrounding you?
It's very nice. There's mountains behind the dairy barn.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice change of pace. It's nice being able to see something when you look out.
And every night when you go outside and look up, what do you see?
A lot of stars in the moon.
A lot more stars, I bet, than we see around here.
Yeah.
Well, thanks a lot, Abigail, for telling us about your situation. And for you kids that are listening, our topic for today is going to be strange and new. Abigail is living in a new place with strange things, learning to milk cows and get along in a community of only 50 people and no TV. You yourself have had some strange experiences and some new experiences, and you've maybe liked them or you maybe haven't liked them. So think about, in your own life, what's been strange, what's been new, and write us in about it, okay?
WSSR Radio has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.